Yeah. Oh, hallelujah. God is good. All the time, yes. Okay, we're in Proverbs once more. I was just on the website for Bitaki looking at the sermons we have done this past half year throughout Proverbs. We've covered a lot of ground. We've covered many topics in Proverbs. Knowing yourself, your emotions. We've covered fear, anger, desire. We've covered relationships like family and friends, forgiveness. We've covered what the Proverbs talks about with words. And with a lot of things. Today we're going to finish up a long section on Proverbs with money, with what the Proverbs says about money. And then we're going to move on from Proverbs into another part of the wisdom literature known as Ecclesiastes. Yeah, it's going to be fun. So, that's right, hevel, smoke, that's right, vapor, meaningless, but it's the Word of God, so. All right, before we get into it, let's read our scriptures together. I'll begin at chapter 10. Please join me at chapter 11, verse 26. I'll read the first half. Join me at the second half. The wealth of the rich is their fortified city, but poverty is the ruin of the poor. The wages of the righteous bring them life, but the income of the wicked brings them punishment. The Lord abhors dishonest scales, but accurate weights are his delight. Wealth is worthless in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivers from death. There is one who scatters and yet increases more, and there is one who withholds more than what is right, but it leads to poverty. People curse the man who hoards grain, but blessing crowns him who is willing to sell. Let's read together. Yes, let's read 11:26. People curse the man who hoards grain. Misfortune pursues the sinner, but prosperity is the reward of the righteous. A poor man's field may produce abundant food, but injustice sweeps it away. Give me neither poverty nor riches, but give me only my daily bread. Otherwise, I may have too much and disown you and say, who is the Lord? Or I may become poor and steal and so dishonor the name of my God. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich. The very words of God. Amen. What happened in the middle there? 11:24. Yeah, 11:24. 11:26. Okay. All right. So just maybe good to have your own Bibles open. Last night, I was watching TV with my family. We were watching a popular family TV show. It was featuring a school from Osaka called Osaka Toin Koko, Chugaku Koko. And the special draw of this school is they have an excellent music program. And, you know, they have an orchestra of over 180 students, and typically the orchestra of a high school is maybe 60 or 70 members. And then they have a national contest, and they all go, and usually it's about 60 to 70. Maybe the big schools have 90. This school had over 187 members, and they all go to the national tournament. It's an excellent, excellent, one of the, maybe the best music program for a high school in Japan. And they were talking to the teacher who heads the program, and he's also, of course, the conductor. He said something I still remember from last night, great memory that I have. Yeah, I know. So he said, you know, there are students in this orchestra who have greater musical ability than me. They're much more talented with their instrument, and they're also very high level in their musical theory or thinking. And I don't consider myself an expert. I just want to bring out the best that they have, which is often better than mine. And I was humbled by that. And I was reminded of our message today. We're talking about money today and wealth and finances. I know for a fact that there are many here who are expert level when it comes to managing money and finances. There are some excellent, excellent people here who know how to deal with economics and savings and investments. And for me to be preaching this message is almost hypocritical. And so it's just like any message I preach. If I preach holiness or love or forgiveness, I'm preaching over my head. But it's the Word of God, and I hope that we all have something to receive today. Also, before we begin, I want you to notice we're talking about money. The Bible doesn't say that all money is bad or rich people are evil. In fact, there's many people who think, you know, rich people are just greedy and they all want money. Or the other way, poor people are just lazy and they don't have money because they're bad. And the Bible has a better categories for that. The Bible is much more robust. I want you to think of a square, and the square is broken up into four squares. So four squares in one big square. You with me? And the top side of the square are rich, okay? And the bottom side of the square is the poor. And then the left side of the square are, we'll call righteous, good, okay? And on the left side of the square, we'll call unrighteous or not good, okay? So you have four categories, and you could say that the top left would be the righteous rich, and the bottom left would be the righteous poor, okay? And on the top right would be the unrighteous rich. And on the bottom left, the bottom right would be the unrighteous poor. So the Bible doesn't say rich people are bad, poor people are good, or the opposite, poor people are good and rich people are bad. No, the Bible teaches that there are both good people who know how to handle money, right, and bad people who are very good at handling money. And also, there are poor people who are excellent with managing resources, but they're still poor. And there are poor people who are just terrible with money. They'll never get their way up or whatever, you know? That's the worldview, or that's the categories that the Bible gives to us. And I want you to keep those in mind as we go through these Proverbs together today. So, also, last pre-introduction, last thing, yes. As we go into wisdom with money, this the general principle of wisdom, okay, is what? There are rules, there are commands, But wisdom is knowing what to do when those rules and commands don't apply. Okay, that's wisdom. There are so many parts of life where the Bible doesn't say, do this, don't do that. It just doesn't. God doesn't want to just us to just be like, okay, God, what next? Left, right? Okay, back, front, huh? What? Oh, give? No, keep? God wants his people to be wise enough to make decisions that are in accord with his wise character. That's what wisdom is. So you can follow all the rules and yet be miserable. In fact, maybe you know somebody like that. Okay, I'm not talking about you, right? But maybe someone you know. I've done everything right. I've followed all the rules. Why isn't things going well for me? Why aren't things going right? Because you don't have wisdom, is what the Bible says. And money applies to that. You can follow all the rules with money, but still be not only unwise. Well, the Bible says the fool is not just stupid, but the fool is destructive. And I'm going to go deep into that today, meaning how does it destroy? How does foolishness with money destroy? Okay? All right, there's our map. Here we go. Let's dig in. The first thing we want to see is that money is actually very powerful. The Bible goes over, the Proverbs teaches us the power of money, and it also shows us why it's powerful. And then through this, we'll see how to break the power and how to use the power of money. All right, so first, the power of money. There's enough verses up here and on this. I didn't list all of them, otherwise it'd just be too many. But if you're in your Bible right now, if you're in your Bible app, if you look at chapter 10, verse 4, it's not there, it's not here, but it's in your Bible. Chapter 10, verse 4 says, "Lazy hands make a man poor, but diligent hands bring wealth." Chapter 10, verse 5, "He who gathers crops in summer is wise. He who sleeps during harvest time is disgraceful." And chapter 10, 22, "The blessing of the Lord brings wealth." The first thing we want to see that Proverbs teaches us is that money, okay, watch this now. Some of you are going to be like, huh? Money, the Bible teaches, is good. Money is it's a good thing. But money is the root of all evil. No. The love of money is the root of all evil. We're not going to even look at that today. But right there we saw the blessings of God bring wealth. Well, why is that? Because Proverbs is based on the book of Genesis. The book of Genesis is God giving man a good thing. If you look at the creation myths of the world, I was just having a conversation with my coworker last week. We were talking about the creation myths of Japan. You know, in Japan, they believe that how the islands were made and how the people were made, their creation myth, not a lot of Japanese know. But they believe that, you know, the islands, the main islands, were made out of a conflict, and some of them out of tears, and that people, they have this saying that people are like grass. They just, not even grass, the word they use is weeds. People grow like weeds, meaning people are just random. They just grow up out of nowhere, and it just comes naturally. If you look at the Greeks thought what's real is the spiritual world, therefore the material physical world is evil or bad. If you look at the ancient Near East traditions, they'll say that it was out of the war between the gods that the earth was made, kind of like Japan. Or they'll say the earth was made because the gods were just tired and they made people so that the people can be like slaves. they just take care of the earth because the gods were too good to take care. So the people were just like, you do all the dirty work. But in Genesis, it's completely different. In Genesis, we see God himself with his hands in the dirt. And he makes the earth, and it's good. And at the end, he gives the earth to man. And he says, man, you are good. I'm going to give you the good thing I made, and I want you to care for the good. I want you to take care of the earth. I want you to be responsible and take responsibility. I want you to govern, to manage, to rule my creation. That's what God gives, okay? Chris, what does this have to do with money? The more money you make, the more of the earth is yours. The more wealth you attain, the more of the earth you're able to manage and to take care of and to use for God's glory and to represent God on this earth. That's why it's a blessing. You following? Money is a good thing, first and foremost, okay? Money is a good thing, but it's powerful. And so not only is it good, but it's dangerous, okay? Money is dangerous. And now we get into the meat of the sermon. So there's four ways it's dangerous that I found here, we could find. The first thing is it's dangerous because it can corrupt. It has the power to corrupt your integrity. Look at chapter 11, verse 1. Chapter 11, verse 1. The Lord abhors dishonest scales, but accurate weights are his delight. It's amazing how people with great integrity, top-notch people, they lose their honesty and their integrity once they come into money. Okay? The word dishonest scales. This is, you know, for those of you, this is not difficult to imagine. You have, let's say, a market, and somebody is buying rice or grain, and you have the weights, and maybe a 1 kilogram weight is labeled as 2 kilograms, or the opposite. A 2 kilogram weight is labeled as 1 kilogram, right? And so what happens is the buyer ends up paying more for less, right? A dishonest scales. Very, very simple concept. But what's Proverbs showing us here? Deceptive business practices, okay? So just very simple. The Lord hates it. Because what happens is it's revealing the character of the one with the money. It's revealing the heart of corruption. It's hiding information from people that they need or that's fair. And that's corruption. And money tends to bring that out. Some people have said it like this. You know, money doesn't just, it's not necessarily corrupting you. When you come into money, it brings out the corruption you already have. Does that make sense? You've seen that, right? You've seen, like, generous people. The more money they get, the more generous they are. It just brings out their generosity. On the other hand, you see some people, man, they just come into money, and it just gets worse, and they do more harm than good with it. And so that's one of the powers of money, is it corrupts a person's integrity. Second thing we see is money has the power to destroy community. So money has a power for corruption and then community destruction. Look at chapter 11, verse 26. People curse the man who hoards grain, but blessing crowns him who is willing to sell. The person, now here, okay, so in the first one we saw that money can, the person being dishonest. Here, it's not being dishonest, it's being ruthless. Ruthless. So someone is hoarding grain. What's the situation? Maybe there's a shortage of resources, okay? A famine, just a low time for the market. So what happens is this merchant is hoarding all of the resources. Why? So that he can hike up the prices. He's taking advantage of people's needs and using that to draw more money out of them, right? It's ruthless. And you know what it is? Right? Listen now. He's following the rules. There's nothing illegal in what he's doing, right? But he's destroying the community. How? What does it say? You make all this money. You make all this wealth. You're gaining all these riches. But the word they use is, it's cursed. Cursed. Cursed means spiritually, emotionally, psychologically, materially, destroyed. Decreation. This is called decreation. God created, gave life. And this is now a curse. When you are being ruthless, when the bottom line is your personal profit, when all that matters is what you gain for yourself, you're being destructive. You are participating in the decreation of yourself, emotionally, spiritually. You're being participating in the decreation of the community that God gave for our flourishing.
Amen.
Amen. So that's the second power of money, okay? Now, this ruthless, okay. So now we go to the third one. The third one here is money has the power to distract from what's really important. Distract. So there's corruption, community destruction, and now distraction. Look at chapter 11, verse 4. Chapter 11, verse 4. Wealth is worthless in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivers from death. So the day of wrath, that's judgment day. Judgment day. All right, so what's a judgment day question? Are you familiar with that word? A judgment day question. This is the day when we all die and we stand before God. Or this is the day that when Jesus comes and we stand before him. What's a judgment day question? Let me give you some. What is my life worth? Am I doing anything good? What good am I doing? Am I helping anybody with what I'm doing? Who are the people that I'm trying to help? Is it really any good? Right? Those are judgment day questions. But money has the power to distract from that. How? There's this thing about wealth that it's a vicious cycle. Here's what happens, okay? I don't have a lot, but I get a job, I start making money. Ooh, now I can start spending money. But now that I'm spending more, I have to make more. So I have to work more. I'm working more, I'm earning more, but I'm spending more. And on work, earn, spend. Work, earn, spend, work, right? And here's what people end up doing. They start thinking, you know what? I would love to give more. I would love to help out with charity. I would love to give to these people. I just don't have enough. I'm always just kind of strapped because I'm just trying to keep up. Not with anybody else. I'm just trying to trying to pay the bills. And what we find out is, I'll go over this. That's a lie, okay? But what happens is, this cycle of earning and spending and earning and spending, it's distracting from the judgment day questions. Is this any good at all? You know, the bottom line with money is this. The Bible says it's not just, you make money, that's a good thing, But if your bottom line is your own personal profit, you're missing out. Because the Bible says there are multiple bottom lines. What are you talking about, Chris? Remember maybe three or four weeks ago, we talked about justice, and when you read the word righteous in the Proverbs, the word is, it's hard to say, tzedek, righteous, okay? The righteous, and we read it today, the word righteous is what? People who understand that my personal gain is for others, okay? So those who are righteous are those who make money for themselves and for the community. Here also, the righteous are those who spend money for themselves and for the community. They're not just hiring people so that they get growth, but they're hiring people so that the community gets growth. That's the righteousness. That's the multiple bottom line. But money has this thing where it distracts us from the multiple bottom lines, and it just gets us in this weird self-absorbed cycle. Okay. So, corruption, community destruction, distraction, okay? And we never have enough to give. And now, finally, the last thing, it has this power to pump up our ego, okay? So it's ego inflation, okay? We're not just inflating the economy, we're inflating our ego. Look at chapter 30, verse 8. Chapter 30, verse 8. Give me neither poverty nor riches, but give me only my daily bread. Otherwise, I may have too much and disown you and say, who is the Lord? Or I become poor and steal and so dishonor the name of my God. That word, it says, who is the Lord? In verse 9. Have you ever seen that phrase before in the Bible? Who is the Lord? The first time we see that is with Pharaoh. Pharaoh said it to Moses, okay? Moses says, Pharaoh, I come in the name of Yahweh, the Lord, and I want my people to go. The Lord says, let my people go. And Pharaoh goes, I don't know this guy. I know Ra. I know Hotep. I know these other gods. Who is the Lord? He doesn't help me. He doesn't give me anything. He doesn't provide for me. Who is the Lord? Okay. And so money has this ability to inflate us and say, where we start to think, oh, yeah. Here's what happens. You start making money. And you start to think, yeah, that's right. I earned this. I worked, I got up early in the morning. I worked hard. I planned right. Yeah. I did good. And now it's coming in, my ship's come in, and I deserve this. And so here's the tendency. What happens is, well, what did you do? Why can't you do what I did? Ah, that's because you're not like me. There's the switch. I work at a very good school. Okay, humble brag. Okay, I work at a great school. I remember when I was applying for the school. I told my friends, I'm thinking of applying to work at this school. One of my best friends, quote unquote, one of my best friends says, what? Chris, you can't work there. The people who work there are the top, the best of the best. You have to have at least a master's degree to work there. And many of those guys have doctorates. Some of them are graduates from like top level schools, Tokyo, Osaka, public schools. Chris, just give up. Don't bother. What did that do to me? Okay, I'll show you, right? And I applied. And I was actually here when they gave me the phone call that I passed, and they were hiring me. And I gave the greatest shout. I was just like, yeah! Nobody was here. Everybody was downstairs. But I shouted so loud. When I came downstairs, they're like, Chris, are you okay? And I was like, yeah, I got it. I passed. And I knew that it was all praise and glory and honor to God. Like, that was, it's all God. Because I work there now, and there's some people I work with. I'm not going to tell you their names, but there's some people, I just talk to them, and they're like, yeah, I mean, you know, I studied hard, I worked hard, and I'm here because I deserve it. Some people have that idea in their mind. I work at the best school because I'm one of the best. But me, I'm not trying to glorify myself. I'm just trying to illustrate. I'm here. I look at them. I go, yeah, maybe you're one of the best, but I'm here. I'm pure luck. Okay, I'm pure blessing. God bless me. I don't deserve to be here. Money has that tendency to make us think, oh yeah, I deserve this. And we get distracted. So what happens? You don't just think, you don't look at people and think, okay, I'm above them economically by God's grace. You don't think that. You happen to think, I'm just above them. I'm better than them. Maybe you don't say it. You're not gonna say it out loud. But somewhere back there, it's there. And that's a very, very powerful thought. To think, oh, look at these poor idiots. Look at these guys. And you have this kind of air about you. Who is the Lord? You know, I did this, okay? All right, so that's it. That's all the time we have for those powers of money. It's good. Money is good. It's a powerful thing to rule and to reign and to care for the world as God intended us to have. But, oh, it's dangerous. It corrupts, it distracts, it destroys community, it inflates our ego, okay? But why? Why does it do that? What's the reason for that? This is important. Okay, so look at chapter 10, verse 15 and 16. Chapter 10, verse 15 and 16. The wealth of the rich is their fortified city. The wages of the righteous bring them life. All right, the wealth of the rich is their fortified city. So the image now, I need you to look at this picture. It's the idea of a city. Now, you need to rewind the tape and go back 1,000 or 2,000 years. Cities were very important. You just imagine a city with a big wall around it, okay? All the towers and the houses, okay? And the plumbing and the bricks and everything. It's all a city. So the poor people had to live outside the city. They couldn't afford it. So if you're out in the countryside, out in Owasa, or out in Kude, or wherever, you're out in, you know, way out there, you know, you're vulnerable because you don't have a wall. So you can get attacked by anybody, anytime. You're vulnerable to wild animals who could come in and just take your crops like that. You're vulnerable to weather, wind storms, just blow right in, and there's your crops, okay? You're vulnerable to hordes, like raiding parties, you know, vigilantes, and they just come in and just take whatever. You don't have the walls. You don't have the protection, okay? So you're vulnerable outside in the countryside. But if you're in the city, what is it? The word here is secure. Secure. The city is a picture of security. Got it? So, because you're secure, everybody wants to live in the city. Now, what happens where there's a limited amount of space, but there's a great demand? Who gets the space? The rich, the ones with money. So, the ones with money get to live in the city. The merchants, the royalty, the artisans, those with significance, okay? So cities give you two things, security, and significance. They give you safety and protection, but they also give you standing and status, right? Significance. That's the city. Now, what does it say about the rich and wealthy? It says this. The wealthy have the fortified city. No, it says the wealth of the rich is their fortified city. What does that mean? Okay? Now, it's not in your bulletin. It's not on the screen. But we get the full meaning of that a few chapters later in chapter 18. I'm going to read it for you. You can turn there if you like. Chapter 18, verse 10 and 11. Just listen. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous man runs into it and is safe. And then the very next verse, a rich man's wealth is his strong city. Did you catch that? Did you catch that? A rich man's wealth is his strong city, and like a high wall in his imagination. Protection and prosperity. The reason why money is so powerful, oh, please get this, Mitaki. Money is so powerful, and the reason why money is so dangerous is this. Money can be your significance and your security. Let me flip it around. Apart from God, your biggest security and your greatest significance can be money. Okay? Without God, money can be your security, your protection, your prosperity, your significance, your status. That's just what it is. That's what the Bible is saying. Without God, money can be everything. Now, it's very deceptive now, okay? Now, here's the thing. If you look at the first 11:1. The Lord abhors dishonest scales. Okay, the Hebrew for that is literally this. Let me just tell you the chokuyaku, the straight translation. It says this: dishonest scales are an abomination. That's what it says, okay? Abomination. Now, that word abomination, what that is used for is what? Usually sexual immorality, adultery. That's what it's used for, usually. But here, it's applied to money. What is it saying? It's saying this. If you love money so much, if you're so greedy that the bottom line is all about you, that greed is just as bad. The Lord hates that as much as he hates someone cheating on their wife or their husband. That's what he's saying. It's an abomination. Now, hold on, we're not finished yet. Watch this. If that is true, money is more dangerous than adultery. Why? Greed is much more dangerous to you and I than sexual immorality. How? You know, in the New Testament, Jesus, in the Bible talks about money 800 plus times. Over 800 times, the word money is mentioned in the Bible. Guess how much the word love is mentioned in the Bible? 310. I counted it. No, I didn't. I just Googled it. But look, money. Now, Jesus, he's going around talking about this. Be careful of greed. Be careful of the love of wealth. Watch yourself that you don't get a heart for money, right? You don't hear him saying, be careful of adultery. Be careful of sexual immorality. Be careful of the adulterous. No. Why? Because if you're doing adultery, you know it. You don't wake up someday and you're like, you're not my wife, right? You know, people who do adultery know they're doing adultery. People who are doing greed, they never know it. And that's why Jesus is constantly warning them, be careful, right? That's why it's so powerful, because it's so deceptive. It's so tempting, okay? And that's why we need wisdom on how to break that power, and not just break it, but how to use it the way God intended it for us to use it, okay? So that's our last point, how to break the power of that and how to use it. So there's two things. The first is assume that you are in denial, okay? Assume that you are in denial. How do you know that money is giving you your significance or security? How do you know that money has power over you? Now, let me just be very practical. Let me give you a test on a way that you can test yourself, okay? Maybe you're thinking, okay, Chris, I know, but I'm a Christian. I manage my money. I tithe 10%. Money's, okay, just go with me for a minute, okay? How do you know that money has some kind of power over you? And I'll be careful. I'll share a little bit, but okay. When two people get married, one is usually spendy with their money. They like to spend their money a lot. And then the other person usually likes to save a lot of money, right? They're the ones who save. One is oh, let's get this, let's get that, let's treat her. And the other one's like, well, oh, hold on. We got to save this. We got to keep that, right? All right. I want to ask you, which one are you? Are you one who's typically spending money, who likes to treat yourself? Ah, come on, I deserve this. Ah, it's been a while. This would be nice. I need this. Or are you the one that says, no, it's coming. We got to be careful. There's that bill. You never know. So we have to save. Let me say this. For one, the one who likes to save, who feels like they need to save everything, money is your security. Money is your security. Because with money, you have control. You are the one who know, oh, yeah, this could happen, but hey, it's covered. This can happen, but I got it. And you have security in your bank account. But wealth is useless in the day of wrath. Money can't stop death. Money can't stop heartbreak. Money can't provide everything for you. And you can't control everything with money. Be careful. Test yourself. Is money your security? Okay, let's flip it around. Okay? I'll just be completely honest, okay? Nahomi and I, we have an agreement, okay? I'll just make the money, and they give me my paycheck. I don't even open the paycheck. I just give it right to her, okay? Because she's a lot better with money than I am, okay? The reason is, you give me 500 yen, I'm going to spend 1,000 yen, okay? That's just how I am. I'm terrible with it, all right? So it just it burns a hole through my pocket. I'm spendy with it. But here's the thing about spenders, okay? If you're like me, all right? You get something, you feel good about it. You get the new phone, that's nice. You get a little bit of clothing, that's nice. And you feel good about yourself, but you start feeling better than others. And because of what you have, you feel a little bit significant. And that little bit, you know, I remember, full confession. My grandmother gave me a watch for graduation when I graduated college. It was a nice, shiny, brass watch, and it was really cool. I never had one. It was nice on my dark Filipino skin. You know, it was like real good contrast. You should have seen me that summer after I graduated. I'm just like this all the time. Just talk to me. What's happening? How you doing? What time? Oh, look at the time. You know, I'm just, yeah, how is that, you know? I get a new shirt, I'm wearing that shirt for the next month, right? Because it makes me feel good, but it doesn't make me just feel, it makes me feel better. and I'm significant. I get approval. I get affection. I get attention. How about you? Okay? I've been honest with you. Can you at least be honest with yourself? Okay? All right? Is money your security or is money your significance? Okay? Because when you can understand that, you can begin to break that power. Because now we think, I see, I've been in denial. Okay? Okay? I've been in denial. So the Lord hates dishonest scales. I never have enough. I never have enough. I want to give, but I just can't because I need it. That's the language of an addict. An addict cannot distinguish between wants and needs. And now that addict says, this want is not just a want, it's my need. Now, if you can just admit that, you who live in the third biggest economy in the world, the second biggest economy in Asia, you who live in this country, this society that is so wealthy, that is so rich, how do you know? Well, you look at your generosity, your ability to give. Now, here's the thing. You first have to admit you're in denial, and the last thing is you have to see the paradox. The paradox. What's the paradox? In the middle of the page on the left side, 11:24. There is one who scatters, yet increases more. One who scatters and yet increases more. It's okay. Yet increases more. And there is one who withholds more than is right, but it leads to poverty. So there's this, and also it says in Psalm, I think 112 or Psalm 32, one of those two, it says, the one who scatters, gathers. And the one who gathers, scatters. There's a paradox there. The one who is more giving and more able to scatter his money ends up making more money. And the one who wants to hoard and keep all his money ends up losing his money. That's what it's saying, okay? Does that make sense? No, it does not. No, it does not. It's a paradox. But the picture comes from agriculture, right? It's an agricultural term. So, what is it? You take a seed. Now, you can eat the seed, okay, depending on the seed, or you scatter it, right? And when you scatter it, you grow the crop and it comes back better, actually better than what it was before, right? Now, usually you think, well, you know, if I scatter, I'm losing and I'm decreasing. And if I gather, I'm going to increase. But this is opposite. The one who is willing to increase ends up decreasing. But the one who is willing to give and to decrease himself, his wealth, ends up increasing what he has. That's a weird paradox. We're almost done. But that's the teaching of the Proverbs. Scattering is this. You break what you have. And you scatter it out. You break what it is your wealth. You break up your wealth and you give it out. That's scattering. The way to break the power of wealth over you is you have to understand your power, where your power to scatter comes from. There was a man named Paul in the New Testament. He was an author. And he was writing to a church in Corinth. It was his second letter, 2 Corinthians chapter 8. And he's telling these Corinthians, he's saying, I'm trying to collect some money. He's basically raising funds as a missionary. And what does he say to this church? You better give or God's going to get you. Fear? No. Oh, look at these poor people. Look how much they're... don't you feel for... Is it guilt? No. He's not after their fear. He's not going after their guilt. He's going after their gratitude, their heart. And he's saying, you know, we want to raise this money. We want to raise this funds. And he who gives much receives much, and he who gives little receives little. But what I want you to understand is this. You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that through his poverty, so that you, through his poverty, might become rich. And he goes on further to say, you know what? He's quoting, he who has scattered his gifts is receiving all that he died for. Jesus was the ultimate scatterer. He gave. And you know what? When they were beating him, they were whipping him, that whip, those whips had bones and pieces of metal on them. And so they would whip him, and he was literally being broken apart. And we sung it today. Hallelujah, we sung it today, right? By his wounds. He scattered himself on the cross for us. The ultimate scatter. The cross is the place where God scattered. Look, you cannot break the power of wealth and money and greed unless you have the cross of Jesus Christ. You'll never be able to do it. Because on the cross, here's what it is. I'm going to put it all together now. The cross is where we find our security and our significance. Amen? On the day of judgment, on the day of wrath, my only security is the cross of Christ. Naked I came, naked I go. But if I have the cross, I have the ultimate security. Like God is good. And not only that, look, let the rains come. Let the winds blow. Let the floods rise. I know God loves me. That no matter what happens to me, I could be broke. I could be naked. I could have nothing. But because of the cross, I know God still loves me and cares for me. That's my security. But not only that, it's my significance. You want to talk about low self-esteem, low status. I don't have the brand name. I don't need the brand names. I don't need the best car. I don't need the best house. I don't need the best schools. I don't need the best resume. I don't need the best cards. I just need the best giver. I have the best God. And you see, if you're so caught up in the earning and the spending and the earning and the spending, what happens is these treasures, they're going to make you die for these treasures. These treasures will make you give your life. But Jesus says, no, I'm the treasure, and I gave my life for you. You're my treasure. You are my significance. And you look at what Jesus did for you, and you look at how much he loved you, and that is the ground level of significance. We start there, and we go from there. That's home base. But here's what happens now. Okay, we're going to close it with this. The tithe, okay? The tithe. Now, you know, for those of you who've been listening to me for the years, I don't use the word tithe. Okay, I've been studying, and all through my studies, tithe is a difficult word for me, okay? Because tithe is a rule. Tithe is a law, okay? Now, what did I say in the beginning? Okay? What did I say in the beginning? The rule, you could follow all the rules, but that does not mean you're wise. The tithe, the 10%, now look, 10% is a good thing. Were you saved by 10% of Jesus' blood? Did Jesus tithe his riches to you so that you could be? No. He gave it all. He gave 100%. So this word tithe, it's difficult for me, okay? But if that's your word, okay, fine. That's fine. Use that word. Tithe is the law. The cross is wisdom. How much should I give, Pastor Chris? How much do I have to give? You have to give all, okay? Anything less than that is the grace of God. That's all. But you're wise. You're wise. If you love Jesus and you follow the cross and you have your own cross. So listen to him. How much should you give? If your tithe or your offering is not affecting your life, if there's nothing sacrificial about what you give, you want to test yourself. Is money my security or is money my significance? The way you take vacations, the things that you purchase for yourself, the things that you enjoy. Now, I'm not saying, okay, you're woe is me, I'm a pauper, I have nothing. That's neither here nor there. Look, we don't preach prosperity gospel, we don't preach poverty gospel. Your poverty doesn't save you, your prosperity doesn't show you're saved. Okay? Jesus saves. Jesus saves. And so if you have something, the righteous are those who are willing to forego their benefits for the benefits of the community. That's the righteous. You have the righteousness of Christ. You are clothed in his righteousness. Pick up your cross. Pick up your cross. Follow him. You won't bother with a tithe. I just want you to think about the next church we're planting. The next church we're planting. That's one practical way you could think. We want the gospel to spread in Hatsukaichi. We want to plant a church in Hatsukaichi. We want people to be saved in Hatsukaichi. Is there anything I could give to? Is there any ministry I can provide for? Is there anything that I can show God? I want wisdom. Think, pray, let the Spirit lead you on how to give and how much to give. Don't give impulsively. This week, I've got some cash. Here you go. This week, I don't have cash. Too bad. Plan it. Be diligent. Be diligent. And be wise. And oh, the Lord will bless. The Lord will bless. That's what he does. He gives, right? Let's go to the Lord right now in prayer. Father, we bow our heads. We bow our hearts. Humility before you. Lord, we're foolish in how we spend our money sometimes. And Lord, we're arrogant sometimes in how we save our money. Lord, help us to repent of our corruption, our distraction, our inflated egos. Help us to repent of having money be our security or our significance. Help us to lift our eyes to the cross, even today, and let us look at Jesus Christ giving all so that we can give whatever we have. For this is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.